Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid. Travel's great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online via app or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com or call 877-290-1880. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
Hey, weirdos. I'm Elena.
I'm Ash.
And this is Morbid. I know, I just wanted to do it
weird.
And
this is Morbid.
And this is Morbid.
You do fast, I do demon.
Diamond. We're here with a spooky episode today.
Yeah, I think, was the last Haunted Lakes episode or like Spooky Lakes episode Lake Lanier? Or have we done one since
Yeah, because I don't even think we deemed that a Spooky Lake episode. Yeah. I think it was just like its own thing.
Well, guess what? Now we got a whole new series. Fucking spooky lakes.
Because you know we love a spooky lake, a spooky road, a spooky castle,
We love a spooky.
Anything, really. And a lot of you requested spooky lakes. That was like when we said, like, what other spooky things would you like to see? Lakes was like top of the list.
Oh, yeah. And the lake that I'm covering in particular, so many people have asked for us to cover
yeah.
this.
Yeah. And mine's just strange. And it has like a little strange thing about the town later. But
I love that.
Yeah, Ash has like a really good one. Mine's good too, but Ash, I think, is going to blow our minds.
Ooh.
But yeah, I think spooky season is upon us. It's time to get spooky.
Let's get spooky.
And just because now we can say it, Tobias Forge from Ghost is coming on the podcast.
Fucking so cool.
I'm dying.
Many of you are also dying.
And I'm so happy that we can all freak out about this together.
I know. This is like very exciting.
It's very exciting. Like very exciting.
How exciting?
This is a good get.
It is.
This is a good get.
This is... It is, yeah.
The ultimate get,
yeah.
I will say. But if you guys have any questions, because we're going to ask him a few fan questions. And so if you guys have a question that you've always wanted to ask him, just send us your question to morbidpodcast@gmail.com. Put in the subject line, ask Tobias.
Because we got a whole folder.
Because we got a whole folder going. We're going to sift through. We'll pick a few. And then we'll have him pick some to answer. So... hopefully yours will get answered, but yay, throw them out there because you never know.
Burning questions for Tobias.
But we want you guys to be involved because when I said that, like, we started listening to Ghost, John and I, everyone was so sweet about it and was like, oh my God, like the people who have been listening to them forever.
Oh yeah.
We're like, now you have to listen to this and you have to listen to this. In fact, Jordan from Nighttime Podcast is like a huge Ghost fan.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And he was all excited. He was like, finally. But you guys were like so sweet about it and giving me all these, you know, songs to listen to and being like, I hope you get to a live show, which we are going to get to a live show.
I just am picturing myself at this live show. And it's the funniest thing, even to myself, because I... You know, like, we're all weirdos here, but I came late to the weirdo game a little bit.
Different so, brands of weirdo.
Yeah, different brands of weirdo. You and I are, like, entirely different brands
of
weirdo.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm just, like, crazy. Nah. No, I am. Yeah. But, I thought you said, nah.
I agreed.
Don't fool me. I'm crazy. I don't know if we've told this story on the podcast before. It originated from that Liz Dush movie, This Thing. Didn't it?
Oh, yeah, it did.
So we were watching... What movie is that?
It's Soul Survivors.
And they go to, like, a club that's kind of like Club Hell.
Yeah, it's like the super goth club, like, yeah, ultra, ultra goth club.
Like, literally, like, you cannot get in unless you're wearing black or leather or chains.
Yeah,
until, in this movie. And there was, like, Elena showed it to me, and there's this one scene where they're going to this movie, and I put up my little, like, devil horns on my hands, and I was just kind of, like, poking them into the air, like, grooving.
Yeah.
But, like, in the way that I groove, and Elena is saying that I'm going to do that at the concert.
Because if you could see the, like, the visual of that, because she does it in such a way that's just like, yeah.
Because I'm groovy. Yeah. I'm not, like, a rock star.
In, like, an Ash way, which is lovely. And I hope it happens during the concert. Because,
I'll do it.
But we're very excited about that. And because you guys were so amazing, we just wanted you guys to be able to be a part of this as well, because you've been so cool about it. So send those in.
Yeah, yeah.
Let us know. We're very excited about it. And yippee. We have some fun things planned for that episode. It's not going to be just a straight up interview. We're going to flip it on its head a little bit.
We've got some silly, silly things and, like, silly some things. Cool things. And I think it's going to be a fun interview.
It will be fun. But you know what? Right now, we're going to get into some terrifying lakes.
Let's go swimming. Or yeah.
Not. Or not. definitely don't swim in this lake. I feel it doesn't have a great reputation.
Oh, okay.
For swimming. This is Haunted Lake.
Let's go.
And it's in Francistown, New Hampshire. It is also known as Scobie Pond or Scobie Lake. I'll tell you why after. But most people call it Haunted Lake.
I like that. Just keep it simple, you know?
And it's been known as Haunted Lake for decades. Long time, like centuries at this
point. She has a fucking rep, okay?
She does. She has the background to be named Haunted Lake.
Good for her.
I mean, when you're named Haunted Lake, you have no choice but to be haunted.
It's that simple.
Like, you're not just named that. That's
maybe
not just a
feeling.
But, well, what happened before New Hampshire was even settled, there was actually a huge fire that happened around what is now Haunted Lake.
Oh, shit.
It was a blaze that took out all of the surrounding vegetation of the lake. Also, some little dwellings that were happening, like, around the lake. Not actual, like, settlement dwellings.
Right, right.
But, like, people that were even camping around there and such. People died. Like, it was bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It looked terrifying after this, because it's just a bunch of charred, just dead devastation all around it.
Do you know how people have, like, different fears? Like, you have a fear of, like, very large things.
Yeah.
I think one of my fears is, like, the aftermath of a fire, like, what that looks like. It's so ominous.
It is. It's really unsettling.
Yeah.
But I found this crazy old book from 1895, and it's called The History of Francistown, New Hampshire, from its earliest settlement, April 1758 to January 1st, 1891, with a brief geological reference of all the Francistown families.
That tells you everything you need to know right in the title.
And it's by Reverend W.R. Cochran.
Go off, Mr. Cochran.
It's actually in it. He talks about, obviously, the town of Francistown, New Hampshire.
Oh, he
goes into the first settlers, the first recorded deaths, the first recorded births, jurors, the first bail, like all the first things that happen in a town. It's actually really interesting, especially for, like, history buffs.
Yeah.
You just see, like, the creation of a town. It's cool.
That is interesting.
And also in it, they mention Haunted Lake. And on page 432, it says, and you. I quote.
Even the page number.
There you go. Just because there's a lot of like opening stuff about the town that you might want to be like, boop, boop, boop. And you can find it. There's like an archive of this book free online. So it says, there have been several traditions concerning the origin of the name Haunted, all showing its early date. One is that a fire once raged on its shores so fiercely as to consume every living thing, and only the trunks of the largest trees were left standing, charred, ashy, desolate, and frightful, causing the early surveyors and even the roving Native Americans to turn away in fear, and presenting at night an appearance weird, strange, and startling in the extreme. No doubt there was this a basis of fact, and no doubt it tended to confirm the early belief that the place was haunted. So it got it really early on. Now, I'm just going to give you a few instances that I found in this book and in a couple of other areas. In 1741, two men came across each other on their way to the lake to buy land and, you know, settle, do manly things.
Yeah.
In 1741.
Treaties.
Just lands. They didn't know each other, but they ended up taking the rest of their journey together after coming across each other. Like, okay. They didn't go there together. They just came across each other and were like, you want to hang?
Yeah.
They set up camp right along the edge of Haunted Lake, and something dark happened that night that we don't know what happened, but they started to argue, and a fight ensued. Eventually, one of these men killed the other one in the fight and then buried his body on the shores of Haunted Lake.
What the fuck?
Now it's said that the man who was killed wanders the shore screaming and moaning in anguish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, in 1753, a team of surveyors came to the lake area to survey land for future farms, and they were going to be there for a few days to complete the job. They camped out the first night on the banks of the lake, thinking it would be a soothing place to sleep right next to the water.
Oh, yeah. How gorgeous.
Well, according to one of these surveyors who was actually leading the team, named Matthew Patton, it was anything but soothing or restful. In his diary, he indicated that the entire camp was awake all night because they were tormented by the loud screams and moans of what sounded like a man who was being tortured or was in great pain.
Holy shit. And it's not known how the one guy killed the other guy?
No.
Oh.
So you don't know how it happened or, yeah.
Like the fact that he's screaming out in like anguish,
right. People say. And it would, and people say they hear that still today.
Yeah.
Like when you go in that area, some people said that they've heard those screams.
Sounds like he was very much tortured.
Yeah. And it wouldn't stop and they all heard it.
Oh.
All of his workers left the following day and refused to stay another second after this. Literally abandoned the job.
I feel that so hard.
And the book that I mentioned up top said about this incident, quote, these chain men were hardly fellows, not accustomed to fear the face of man, but they had some superstition and some alarm at signs and bad omens, and they could not be persuaded to continue their work, even for another hour.
Damn.
Yeah. Now, the next instance is two fur trappers sometime before 1780 went up to the Haunted Lake area to set up what was called trap line circuits.
Okay.
These are circuit-shaped areas where traps will be hidden for various animals. The trapper will walk the circle area and they'll just like go, you know, check the traps as they go. Now, these two trappers set up two different circuits. One was in the Haunted Lake area, like right next to the lake and like around it. And the other was slightly outside of that area, but close enough that they could meet up after camp. So one night, they went through their circuits and one of the trappers, the one in the Haunted Lake circuit, didn't come back to camp.
Okay.
The other one went looking for him and came across him dead, completely mauled. And there was a giant mountain lion standing over him.
Oh, and that, yeah. Now this guy's just witnessing that.
Yeah, and he's like, holy shit.
What do you do?
He ended up killing the mountain lion. Oh. And he buried his friend at Haunted Lake because he was worried more predators were going to come quickly.
Yeah.
So he had to bury him there. And then he got out of there.
Oh, man.
So now there's two people buried at Haunted Lake.
That's not good.
And now we come to 1780. And where the name Scobie Lake comes from.
Oh, okay.
A man named David Scobie came from Ireland to New Hampshire, and all he wanted was to build a water-powered mill on the shores of Haunted Lake. So he got to building, and while he was deep in the process, he comes along a dead body.
Oh.
Yep. Randomly on the shores of Haunted Lake, there was a dead body buried in a pretty shallow grave.
Not one of...
Could have been either one of those.
Okay.
They don't know. And it was skeletonized, and it seemed to be a younger man who was tall, like pretty strong with good teeth. That's how they knew he was like a younger guy.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's probably the first one, I would say.
Because I don't know what you would find.
What good condition the other one would be in. And I also, since it seems like it was like skeletonized and it was like a younger guy, I don't know why, but it just to me feels like those two guys that got in a fight, one of them would be younger. Or at least both of them, maybe.
Sure.
But he was like, oh shit, like a skeleton. But after turning that find into the proper outlets, he set out and finished his building his mill. He was all like, right. Whatever.
He said, I found that. I came, I saw. Now on to conquering.
I gave it to the right people.
Yeah, good for him. You know, did the right thing.
But like, here's my quick little life tip. This is just me personally.
What's up?
When you're building literally anything, finding a hastily buried body of a young man during the process is likely a bad omen.
Oh, for sure. Luckily for me, I don't know if I'll ever build anything. Yeah.
But like, if that happens, just take that L. Move on.
Yeah. You don't even have to. It's not even an L. It's a it's a W, because the universe is like,
is letting you know.
No, don't do this. And there's plenty of other places to build shit. There's so much shit everywhere.
Exactly. There's so much shit everywhere.
There very much is.
The world is full of shit.
It truly is.
It really is.
But it's also full of beauty.
It is. It's full of beauty.
And you can make the beauty in the shit.
Make your own beauty.
Make your own beauty out of the shit.
Be beautiful and positive and wonderful.
if you haven't learned by now, that's our motto.
That's our new, our very, well, not new.
That's just our motto.
It's our motto now.
Now I want to sing that song.
But he got the mill done, and it was up and running, and his sons were working there. It was like a whole family affair. Everything was going all right. But the lake was still showing its displeasure with people pretty consistently. Like in 1810, a 15-year-old named Jacob Langdale drowned there. Oh. And it was said he was found with lilies grasped in his hand.
Oh.
Yeah.
So haunting and just so sad.
It's haunting and really sad. In 1816, another boy named Samuel Allen drowned. In 1824, a man who was 55 years old named Ichabod Gay, he drowned there. Ichabod is such a crazy, awesome name.
Ichabod is a really fun name to say. It's so cool.
Then in 1829, Haunted Lake turned its attention back to the mill and David Scobie. Wasn't done with them yet.
Oh, man.
It was in this year that he was bringing a big stockpile of ice across the frozen Haunted Lake to transport it. David Scobie was.
Okay. Kristoff.
That's exactly what I thought of. Yes, I was get it, Kristoff.
I know you.
The ice cracked, and he went down into the freezing depths where he drowned in the lake.
Oh, this lake is...
It means business.
This lake doesn't want to be settled upon, it sounds.
No, it was like, I'm haunted.
Yeah.
Like, I showed you that.
Let me be haunted.
Like, it's
peace.
Charred and burnt out and devastated, and it's like, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah, it said, I'm broken.
Yeah.
What did they say? Like, have you ever seen the picture of, like, the witch, and it's like, don't touch the witch.
Like, it's like, don't touch the lake.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the very next year in 1830, Nathaniel Aiken drowned there.
No.
Yeah. And the mill was transferred to another owner, David Fuller. And the Fuller family did run it for a little while, but then abandoned it in 1860.
Okay.
Just abandoned it. And the book also mentioned that the Scobie boys, David's sons, who worked for him at the mill, were known to try to scare people around town who came into the vicinity of Haunted Lake, like while they were working at the mill.
Yeah.
And they would hide in the woods and like groan and scream and try to freak people out. But for people who are like, well, there you go, that's what that is. It's like, nope, because the book states, they're very quick to state in the book that Haunted Lake had its name Haunted Lake from the get-go.
Yeah.
From the jump, way before the Scobie boys ever arrived. So that's not what made it haunted. It's not like, oh, they were just getting people to think that.
Right.
They were just playing into the whole vibe of it.
Okay.
And they were like known to do that. It was like, oh, the Scobie boys. But this entire area, this is the weirdest occurrence, and I had to add it in here. This entire area also had some weird occurrence happen in 1780 when Scobie arrived to build the mill,
ooh,
which I thought was weird.
It was like it called to him.
Yeah, like that year was just a lot of shit.
Right.
And I don't know if this was it being like, don't build that mill.
Yeah.
Now, May 19th, 1780, it's called the Dark Day. This was seen in New England, and for several days leading up to this day, they said that the air, and this is recorded places, that the air felt like it was smoky, and vapors were seen in the air.
Why have I never heard of this? That's what I said. Live in New England.
I was like, I'm from New England. What the fuck? Records said the sun and moon looked red and hazy.
Why?
For days leading up to this.
Why don't we get to see it?
Why don't they teach us this shit in school? Yeah, this is like, so interesting.
Why didn't pictures exist yet?
And May 19th came and it was drizzly and thundery a bit, just like a regular drizzly day. But around 10 a.m. that day, it just got dark.
Like zero dark 30?
Like dark. So dark, this is wild, that chickens went to roost, birds went back to their nests, cattle were said to go to their stalls and were apparently making weird noises that concerned farmers. Apparently, even flowers and plants thought it was night, so they closed or opened accordingly.
I fucking love plants.
Like, then it rained and it was like soot, apparently.
What?
According to the above book, they said the rain was, quote, full of a substance that, like, burnt vegetable matter, forming a scum with smell of soot over everything.
What?
Yes. By noon, everyone was lighting candles to see it was so dark.
By noon!
And people legit thought this was fucking end times. Like, they were like, this is the end of the world, clearly.
They're like, the world kind of just started, but it's already over.
It's done.
Like obviously it didn't just start.
But we just started, like, really getting this shit, like, moving.
Right, right.
And now it's over. So people all over New England were running outside and confessing their sins and shit.
Oh, shit.
People were rushing into churches for confession and, like, solace. Like, it was literally, like, people in the streets praying on their knees, screaming out the sins they have done while vegetable matter soot falls from the pitch black sky.
Do you have
at noon?
At noon.
Like, what?
You're like, it's too fucking early for this.
It is noon.
Do you have any hypothesis as to what that vegetable shit would be?
None.
Like,
none. I have no fucking clue.
I'm, like, going back to, like, third grade and, like, trying to think of the whole runoff system and, like, evaporation and all that shit. I'm like, what evaporated?
Me too. I was like, what the fuck is that? And what happened the days leading up to this?
Right.
And why did it get that dark?
The world is the craziest fucking place.
It's wild. And they didn't even get light at night when the moon came out because they were thinking maybe, I think they were saying at night, the moon would quote-unquote rise at 9 o'clock. And so they were waiting for 9 to be like, okay, that's when we're going to get our light. Like, right. It's going to happen and we're all going to feel okay. The moon didn't even come out.
What?
Like, they said it was so black that it was like you couldn't see your hands in front of your face.
And you said before this, both the moon and the sun looked red and hazy?
Yeah.
What? And isn't this is recorded wild? In multiple places.
This is recorded.
Like, this for sure happened.
Yeah, this happened.
Oh my God. And you know, people were running out there, like, confessing to some crazy shit. And then the next day they were like, you know, I was just like feeling some type of way. I just wanted to write short fiction before I died. That's all.
That's it. They Gerard Schaefer'd it.
Yes.
Like, they precisely. Literally. Because the next day they woke up and everything was fine.
They just woke up.
But and there was like this scum all over everything.
What?
From that rain. Yeah.
What was this scum?
And it was like all over Haunted Lake and shit. Like there was a layer of scum that had fallen and like was on Haunted Lake.
She said, get the fuck out.
Isn't Damn. That insane?
Yes, that's insane. I don't even know the proper word for that.
Yeah, that blew my mind. I had to add that in there. I was like,
creepy.
What? And that is the tale of Haunted Lake, but apparently people still hear those screams today.
Ew.
People have seen like weird like things that it looks like somebody's walking across the lake, but then they look like they look again like what the fuck and no one's there.
No.
Like people look for that old mill.
I am a goosebump.
Yeah.
No.
And people look for that old mill now, the Scobie Mill.
Don't.
That was the Fuller Mill
don't
after.
Don't look for that.
And they found like remnants of it.
Don't touch it.
After it was abandoned, they were going to rebuild it.
No.
But they never did. But there's like these remnants of like, you know, stacked rocks and stuff that you can see where it definitely was.
Don't touch that.
Yeah,
don't take a rock from it. Don't take a vial of sand from there.
Yeah, don't
breathe the oxygen in that area. Just do not.
Yeah, this is one place that I'm like, no.
Oh, I'm
no,
so
sir.
Creeped out.
No way am I going there.
So freaky deaky.
It was a scary one.
Oh my goodness.
Weirdos, lately I've been listening to a lot of, you guessed it, Ghost. I've talked about it a lot. I've been listening to a lot of Ghost. And it's been great. And one reason it's been great to listen to Ghost is because I use my Raycon wireless earbuds to do so. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable and they will not budge. I'm telling you, trust me. They stay in my ears when I'm on the exercise bike, when I'm at the grocery store just bopping around listening to music because I need music to go to the grocery store. I don't know. Don't judge me. Do you guys do that too? Either way, they stay in your ears. They don't just slip out. I hate that when the earbuds just slip out of your ears. Raycons give you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life too. Raycons are priced just right as well. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. One of my favorite things is the earbud tap function where you can just boop, tap it to turn it on, to turn it off. It's a nice little quick thing. When somebody goes to say something to you, boop, you can just turn it off. There's also noise isolation, which is nice because you don't want to be completely cut off from all sound, but sometimes you want like a certain level of completely isolated and I can't hear anybody around me. There's also awareness mode on these where if you're talking to someone on the phone and you're using them, it's awesome because it will completely take out all the noise around you so the person can hear you crystal clear. Because sometimes you know how you're talking to someone and earbuds can make it like you can literally hear everybody around that person and everything that's going on around that person? Not with Raycons. It'll completely clear out that external noise to make your sound crystal clear. I love mine. Like I said, I use it when I exercise a lot. And one of my biggest pet peeves with earbuds was that they will slip out of your ear. And I obviously didn't want to use like the wired earbuds or the wired earphones, excuse me, because you end up like pulling those out of the thing. It's just annoying. But some of the ones I was getting, the regular earbuds, they would just slip right out. These ones are like, boom, in your ears. And the sound is just so nice. You feel like you're in your own personal concert. Or if you're listening to a podcast or an audiobook, it's like the person's all around you just talking to you. It's so nice. I love it. And that awareness mode to me is just chef's kiss. I use it whenever I take a call because it's just nice not to have to be like, okay, hold on, I'll call you back because the person can't hear you. So go get some. Go to buyraycon.com/morbid today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/morbid to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com/morbid. Do it.
Guys, it's hard to start working out, and it's even harder to maintain working out, especially if you don't like your fitness routine, which a lot of times it can be dull, just for me personally. That's all I'm saying. But Peloton really keeps me motivated, mainly because I love the instructors and I feel like I'm losing my friends when I'm not on that bike. But also, Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-theme rides, they've got something for you. And like I said, the Peloton bike instructors not only are wonderful and feel like your friends, but they help keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, you know, take the guesswork out of your workout and encourage you to build. So you're like, I want to make you proud of me. And Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you just don't want to miss a thing. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, well, moving on now from the scariest thing you've probably, well, definitely not the scariest thing you've ever told me, but like up there.
But real freaky.
We're going to talk, because so many of you guys have been requesting that we talk about Lake Mead.
Here we are.
All right, and like what better way to do that than on a Haunted Lakes episode? So Lake Mead is over in Nevada. I believe that's how you would wish for me to say it, Nevadians. Nevada. I think that's how you're supposed to say it.
I think you are. I've always said Nevada.
The word on those streets is Nevada. The word on these streets over here in New England is Nevada. So I feel very wrong, but I'm going to move past it.
You got it.
And Lake Mead, actually, I didn't realize this, is the largest reservoir in America.
Huh.
And it was America's first national recreation area. So the lake was a man-made project. We all know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
Took place in February of 1935 after the construction of the Hoover Dam. And when the lake was at its fullest point, it measured about 1,250 feet deep. But this lake actually has not been that full since 1983, almost 40 years ago.
Damn. Yeah. You were showing me some of these pictures.
Oh, my God. And we're going to talk about some of them. I am like,
wow.
It's crazy. The last time that it was even close to being as full as it originally was 22 years ago in 2000. Which also saying 22 years ago in 2000, it like hurts.
Yeah. Oh.
But ooh, these days.
I just remember, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good. You're hurting.
I can see it on your face. You're hurting. I'm just thinking about like when we were all scared that like the grid was going to shut down.
Oh, in 1999.
And now in 2022, I think we're all like, when is the grid going to shut down? Can it? Like, I think we're all
can someone shut the grid down?
We were so scared. Like, we were like, oh no, what's going to happen? All the things. And I remember, like, it turned midnight. And we were all like, Y2K.
I can't imagine living through that. Because I've lived through, like, there's been so many times where they're like, the Mayan calendar ended.
Yeah, of course.
And, like, we all thought it was going to end. But I feel like Y2K was, like, the biggest of those scares.
Everyone literally thought. And it was going to happen.
I think that's maybe like why like not as many people were afraid of like the Mayan calendar ending and all the different ones, because they were like, I don't know, you said this in 1999.
Yeah, it's like I really don't know about that.
But yeah, shut the grid down.
Yeah, well, but now I'm like, okay, when's Y2K happening again?
For
let's
real.
Go.
Would it be like, I don't even know, never mind. But anyway, these days, and as recently as August 3rd, the lake has shrunken its depth to 1,040.92 feet.
My, that is outrageous.
It's lost over 200 feet of water that is just drying up because of climate change and global warming. It's awful. Now, the majority of scientists don't think that Lake Mead will ever reach its full capacity of depth again.
That's really sad.
It really is. And the trends show that if anything, it will just continue to dry up.
Damn.
It did gain a little bit of water recently because we've been going through like a crazy drought and it's been even worse like over there on the West Coast. And they did get some heavy rainfall that definitely rose the water levels up, but not near where it would need to be. So crazy. But all that said, to get to the point of the story, as the lake is losing more of its depth, all kinds of things are being uncovered. It's actually, like we were just saying, super, super creepy to watch video footage, because now you can see all kinds of boats that have reemerged, and some of them, I don't know why this creeps me out so much. It's just like plain creepy. The boats that are just standing vertically, like up and down, once like under so many like hundreds of feet of water
and now are just like
whoop. Just right there, like it looks like they're just like in the sand. So creepy.
It's something about that. It's that thing that
it's
they're
wrong.
They're big things that just are out of place.
Yes.
They're not in working order, so it's just like bleh.
That's exactly what it is. You're like, no, that's not supposed to be there, put it back.
You're supposed to be floating on the surface.
Yeah,
like,
but there
not,
is
what
a
is
surface.
Happening
god damn it. It there's also been even creepier things to emerge, like the whole ass cities. Yes, I said cities.
Oh,
that
yeah.
We're just sitting underneath a lake for the past like 87 years.
God, imagine swimming.
Oh, no.
No.
Swimming over a city freaks me swimming.
That's another phobia.
It is. It totally is. Because you
to
feel like
add to my growing list of phobias that I have.
I know. I'm like holding myself right now because I'm so creeped out.
It's like that is another, that is called something like swimming over big things.
Oh, yeah. You should look it up.
Because it's
we're
like
doing
a
this.
Fear that you'll be like sucked in by them.
I feel that way. Yeah. We were at the lake recently, or like one of the lakes that we go to recently, and I was thinking about it more and more, and I was just like, oh, get me out of here.
Yeah, it's a no for me.
But like things like that have reemerged, and then of course, they have found many sets of human remains.
Oof.
Yeah. So Lake Mead has a long history, as you well know, and we're going to start at the very beginning before it was even a lake, way before there was even a thought of turning this place into a lake. And, of course, it had been settled first by Native Americans. So first, there was a group of Native Americans known as the Basket Makers, named because they made very beautiful and intricate baskets.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And shortly after the Basket Makers settled on that land, another group of Native Americans came along. And these were the Pueblo people. And by most accounts, the Pueblo people and the Basket Makers kind of, like, combined their ways of life, and they really maintained the land together. History obviously tells us that it's very uncommon for these groups to combine their cultures without some kind of war being fought to get there. But it's actually not known for sure whether there was a war or whether they were just like, we have similar cultures, like, let's bend them, let's both live on the land. I just feel like it always has to be a war. So stupid.
Always.
While the Pueblo and the Basket Maker people were living together in unison, they turned this area into a full-blown city. The Pueblo people were known to make beautiful structures, and the people before them, and even before the Basket Makers, they were known to build structures that were underground. They're called pit homes, but the Pueblo people built upwards, and actually, like, in a kind of modern way when you look at it. If you're just picturing, like, small little one-room structures, think again, because these structures were built, like, some of them had 100 rooms.
Damn.
100 rooms. Like, you can look at pictures, and it's beautiful. It looks crazy now because it's almost, like, mummified, but it almost looks like how Greece was built.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep, you're right.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And one such structure can actually be seen now because the lake has dried up so much. You can go see the structure with 100 rooms.
That must be really fascinating to look at, but also terrifying. Absolutely. I don't know. It's just ominous.
You know, like, something lurks within just because it was buried underwater for so long.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Now, archaeologists began to study this lost city that would later become known as Pueblo Grande de Nevada.
Nevada. We got it.
They kind of started really getting gumption into their studying of this place right as plans were being made to construct the Hoover Dam and subsequently fill in the lake. So they had to start hustling to uncover all kinds of artifacts that they had already begun finding, so they knew they would find more. And through their searches, they found ancient weapons, they found skeletons, they found different, like, different buildings, different structures. So, just way more than they bargained for.
Way more than should be under a lake.
Way more than should be under a lake, exactly. And the thing is, like, all of these relics are just going to teach us more about the civilizations that came before us. So they're digging like crazy trying to get this done before the lake fills in. They were literally digging up to the point where the lake was being filled.
Damn.
Like, they were pouring the water in and the people were like, hang on one sec, like, I found something.
What the fuck?
One man said archaeologists were working there until the lake was rising around them.
Can you imagine being so frustrated? You're like, no, like, just, like, I just want, let me get on the rest of this.
And it's literally like we have to put a lake here.
Yeah, like, can we postpone it?
Can we postpone
the lake really quick?
For real. And it's great that they stayed there that long because now there is a museum in Nevada featuring everything they found. It's called the Lost City Museum. And it was actually founded by the National Park System. And they have these, like, massive wall-to-wall cases just filled with ancient artifacts and relics. It looks so cool. I want to go so badly.
Oh, damn.
I feel like I never was, like, interested in going to Las Vegas. I don't gamble at all.
Yeah,
I don't,
it's never really been something I wanted to do.
Yeah, but now I'm like, let's fucking go to Vegas.
Let's go.
I want to go to these museums. So there's another museum that I'll mention later that I want to go to as well.
There is a lot of interesting things there that I think get overshadowed by, like, the
nightlife.
Yeah, exactly.
100%. Now, again, I had said there is more than just one city beneath Lake Mead. There are multiple. Actually, I think there's three if you're getting technical. So this other civilization was founded by Mormon settlers, and they named it St. Thomas after the main leader of their group, Thomas Sasson Smith. These settlers in particular had been sent out by Brigham Young, one of the first leaders in the Mormon religion. And he basically wanted them to go out there so that eventually there could be some kind of, like, trail set up between Utah and this area of Nevada. Mm. So they find this area. They see that it's rich for farming. It's a little off the grid, which is great because they can live amongst themselves. And Thomas Sasson Smith and the group that he was traveling with, they founded this area. And at the time, they thought that they were actually still in a section of Utah. And they knew this muddy land would be great for farming, so they're like, awesome, it's 1865, we're christening this place St. Thomas, let's live here. And they did. For about 5 years, this group of Mormon settlers lived amongst themselves, they farmed the land, they built a church that they all went to together, and I don't know, they just vibed.
They just vibed together.
But then, in 1870, there was a survey done, and it turns out that this small chunk of land was actually determined to be Nevada's piece of land. So they were like, ooh, you guys got to pay us back taxes now.
Ooh.
And you've lived here for 5 years, so you want to hand that over to us in gold?
I was just going to say, somebody hand me a calculator.
Yeah, exactly. They owed a lot of money. And also, it was like kind of a dick move. Like, can't you just grandfather them in? Like, technically, it wasn't Nevada.
It's true.
But now it is. And so they simply didn't have enough money to pay that. So they left the town abandoned. Some of the buildings were burned down. Like, they burned down their houses and businesses. Damn. I think probably because they were like, you're not going to keep this. Like,
this
fuck
is so
you.
So gnarly.
It is. And everybody left except for one family. And perhaps that family was onto something, because St. Thomas would actually be revitalized once more about 20 years after this. So toward the 1880s, the town was reborn when farmers again realized how great the soil was, and they began harvesting the land all over again. So these settlers actually welcomed back some of the Mormons that had previously been kicked out, and the town really started to ramp back up again. Eventually, there were hotels, bridges, cafes, another church was constructed, and things went well for another 50 years. So they lived like in peace and harmony.
Everything was cool. That's always awesome. It's like David Scobie. It was like everything was fine.
Yeah, it was.
And then everybody
good.
Started dying.
Exactly. Nobody died here yet. It was just that President Coolidge signed off on the Hoover Dam being constructed, and the residents of St. Thomas were told that they could live there. They had about 7 years until this whole project was set to get into place, but they needed to make arrangements because in 7 years they were going to bury their town in hundreds of feet of water.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you just like imagine somebody knocks on your door and they're like, yeah, we're going to flood the city that you live in. So you can, do you mind just figuring out somewhere else to go?
Like, how do you respond to that?
Because like your home means so much to you. I can't imagine being like, yeah, we're going to flood it.
Yeah.
And like, you can never go visit it again or anything like that. Like,
yeah,
that's just, it's shitty. Just
like, you're literally like, okay.
Like I don't. That's just so...
Like, what do you say, don't?
I mean, you definitely
please
say don't.
Please don't do that.
Like, why? Do you like, have to?
But they're just like, we're going to, though.
Yeah, they're like, president signed off on it.
Sorry.
So president's this orders. Is,
that's, you gotta get out of there.
Enjoy it's the like, rest of your 7 years, though.
Please don't. Like, what else do you... You're like, okay, I guess I just abandon everything I've ever loved and known.
Yeah.
So they can fill it with water.
Like, cool.
It's so strange. Like, was it like Lanier that
yes,
that was the
yep.
same? It was whenever you covered these ones and you say that, I'm always like, what the fuck?
Like, you just get first
what
of all,
the fuck?
Don't ever knock on my door. But you get a knock on the door and they answer back then. Nobody even answers
nobody
now. The Ring
that,
camera,
no.
I'm like, I don't know you.
Nope.
Or actually, excuse me, the Simply Safe.
Exactly.
But like, I just, what? What?
Yeah.
You're just like, hello? Oh, like, okay, that's bad news.
No, that's not great.
So pretty much everybody left because they really didn't have another choice. They received a very, again, just like Lake Lanier, a very small payout. It was not at all what their homes
were.
Not
enough that they would need to start completely over from scratch.
That's the thing. And it's like, you're not only leaving your home, but you have land. Like, they should be paid appropriately for that.
That's the thing.
They were not. And legend has it that one man stuck around until the bitter end. This man is called Hugh Lord, and he, one, was not going to accept such a small payment for his home and his land, and two, he didn't actually think that the water was going to rise as high as the plans laid out. He was like, I think they're making this a big fucking deal, and it's not going to be that big.
They're over-exaggerating, everybody. Do not worry.
Unfortunately, they were not over-exaggerating.
Slightly wrong.
And I don't know how true this story is, because this sounds a little wild, but it said that he realized one morning how wrong he was when he woke up to his bedroom filling in with water. I'm like, would they be like allowed to do that?
I feel like that would be jarring.
I feel like it would. So
jarring.
He is said to have packed up all of his things, got his rowboat. He had a rowboat ready just in case.
Yeah.
He set his home on fire and just rowed away from it. Like, what?
What?
And shortly after his departure, Lake Mead was officially filled. But as we know, it would not remain full forever. So aside from the lost cities and the boats that I mentioned are now reemerging, there's also something pretty fucking wild that technically hasn't, or not technically, it just hasn't fully emerged yet, but we have a view of it that we've never had before. I showed you this and I feel like it's going to freak you out all over again.
It's so crazy.
This wild thing that is slowly like coming closer and closer to the surface is a B-29 plane that has been sitting in Lake Mead since 1948. Hate it. So this plane, it previously was used to survey the Colorado River. And the day that it crashed, it was actually running a test flight over Lake Mead. So it's unclear really what exactly went wrong to cause it to crash. But when it did, it sank so deep that it wasn't traceable. Now, I will tell you, luckily, the five people on board were rescued. Nobody died.
Oh, thank goodness.
Everybody survived the crash. That's great.
Well,
it was not great. But it would be 55 years before the plane was even discovered, which happened in 2003. And it was only because the water levels were, of course, starting to deplete. Now, even now, it is pretty deep down, and you do need scuba gear if you want to go check it out. But if scuba is not your thing, I found this article that had a photo from an aerial point of view, and there's this sliding cursor that you can move to see before the water levels started sinking and then after. So first, when you're looking at it with like the cursor slid over, you would have no idea that a plane is lurking below. It just looks like a body of water.
No.
Then you slide the cursor and the view changes to like the after point of view, and you can see the top of this plane. Again, it's still submerged, but you can see it. Like this massive fucking plane just sitting there.
I hate it so much. It's when you show me this so picture, creepy. I was like,
so creepy.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
I knew there was one more.
I hate it.
I hate it.
The next one.
And another means of transportation also reemerged very recently, actually, in July of this year. I showed you a picture of this, too. A World War II Higgins ship, which was used for soldiers to storm the beaches back during World War II. Now, a lot of these particular boats were actually used on D-Day during the Second World War. And this particular ship that now sits slightly in the water, but mostly sticking out. It was a surplus ship that was originally sent to also survey the Colorado River, much like the plane I was just talking about. But when they didn't need it for that job anymore, it was sold to one of the marinas at Lake Mead, and they actually purposefully sank this boat. And the reason they did that was to anchor this structure that protects the marina from harmful waves.
Oh, okay.
If the water gets too crazy. So when it sunk, it sat 185 feet below the surface and now is almost completely like above the surface.
That's too much. When like, that's too much.
That gives you
that's too much.
It used to be 185 feet below the surface and now is completely.
That 185 feet of water has depleted.
And it's just gone. Like what?
That's. Oof.
It's so creepy.
This is akin to like anything to do with oceans or space where it's just like too much.
It's too overwhelming.
Like it gets to be a point where you're like, ooh.
Oh,
ooh, too much.
So scared.
Can't rationalize that in my brain.
No. Ugh. The other thing is this like body of water is what we use for drinking water for like 40 million Americans.
Yeah, that was a little concerning.
And I'm like, okay, so there was like an airplane lurking below, a fucking World War II ship. And we are going to talk about some bodies that are also below and an ancient city that like we don't even know completely or multiple ancient cities that we don't even know like what's lurking behind that land.
A handful of ancient cities underneath
this
thing.
And we're just like, oh yeah, put that in your Brita filter and drink it up. Like,
it'll be fine.
Definitely put it in your Brita fucking filter.
Yeah, for sure.
Jesus.
Holy shit.
So creepy.
No.
So, and sad too, because this is a real problem. If this water keeps depleting at this rate, like 40 million Americans, or I think it was actually over 40 million Americans, are going to need to find a different source for drinking water.
So wild.
How are we at that point, guys?
I'm
like, we got to do something.
We got to do something. In a tiny apartment in Southern California, two college dropouts teamed up to create a watch company that broke all the rules. With fair prices, unexpected colors, and clean original designs, Movement grew into one of the fastest growing watch brands, shipping to over 160 countries across the globe. Now Movement has expanded into blue light glasses that protect your eyes from your screens, minimalist jewelry, and more style essentials that don't break the bank, all designed out of their California headquarters. Personally, I got myself the Profile watch in black. It is so sleek. I get so many compliments on it. The amount of times that somebody has asked me, where did you get that watch? And I'm like, it's Movement. I can't even count. It's great. I love it. I love spreading the word. Movement watches have the look and quality of a $400 to $500 watch you're paying for at a department store, but cost a fraction of the price because they were built online and own their process from start to finish. You get a beautiful watch shipped right to your door for free. And if you don't love it, you can ship it right back for free too. I've got to spend all day in front of my computer. We are researching, recording, taking meetings on the computer all day. And my Everscroll blue light filtering glasses are a true game changer. It really helps my eye strain and poor sleeping patterns. And I love the modern style of the frames. And I get migraines and it really helps to keep those away. If you want to elevate your look with style that doesn't break the bank, then join the movement and get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/morbid. Again, that's mvmt.com/morbid.
Are you the kind of person who loves a touch-up on the go, or maybe you're a full glam while in the carpool kind of human? Maybe there's no time for a full face in the morning between kids, pets, work, all of that. Maybe you woke up late. Well, Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation is perfect for those moments when life moves fast. I absolutely love this foundation because it doesn't settle into any fine lines or wrinkles, and you can just toss this thing in your purse. You say, oh my gosh, I have a little smudge right here. Let me fix it really quick. It's perfect. And it's now in 16 shades. It offers SPF 20, which, like, that's amazing. It's got moisturizing pro vitamin B5. And I love the applicator. It's a blurring sponge. So you can just tap, tap, tap it to reset your foundation and you are good. Shop Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
But now on to what everybody has been asking about, all of you people on Twitter and Instagram, all of the bodies that keep washing up or being discovered in Lake Mead. Now, in March of 2017, Lake Mead was actually named the deadliest park by Outside Magazine, and that was even before these bodies started washing up. The lake really does get a bad rep because there's a high amount of death associated with it. A lot of people have drowned out there, not necessarily in like a Lake Lanier way with like lost souls pulling you underneath. I mean, maybe that is the case, but it kind of seems more like people swimming out farther than they intended to and getting tired along the way.
Yeah.
Or jumping into the water from high up and not realizing how strong the currents are below. Yeah. Because I think when you hear lake, a lot of times you're like, oh, lakes are chill. But this lake, I mean, it's massive and it's the wind out there is strong. Like, the currents get crazy in this
lake. Oh, yeah, because it's true. You think with lakes, like, it's just going to be, like, glass.
Right.
Like, really smooth. You're not going to have to worry about ocean shit.
Right, but you do. And drownings actually account for most of the deaths at the lake. But there are also vehicle crashes. There's been homicides, I guess. And there's been falls and suicides. And actually, when Outside Magazine named Lake Lanier the deadliest park, they weren't even counting the deaths that were by suicide.
Wow.
Which is really sad.
I know.
Now, as the lake is drying up, like I said, a lot of partial remains are being found, as well as whole entire bodies. A man was recently discovered inside of a barrel with a shotgun wound to the back of his head. Now, some people think that this murder was probably a mob hit because it does sound that way.
Certainly rings like one.
Definitely does. The man was found very badly decomposed, but still wearing actually some of the clothing that he had obviously been wearing when he was killed, including a shirt, shoes, and a belt. Now, because of the style of the clothing, it's believed that this man was probably killed in the mid-70s to early 80s. The mob theory comes from the fact that around the late 70s and well into the 80s, the area surrounding Lake Mead were rife with all kinds of mob activity. And actually, the Mob Museum, which is the museum I want to go to, it's in Vegas, said of the time, quote, "It was the most violent period in Las Vegas's past, an era of unprecedented street crime and underworld killings."
Damn.
And mobsters were known to kill their victims, particularly with execution-style murder.
Oh, yeah.
So that's much like how this man was found, so it's definitely a good theory, but it has not been completely proven yet. And historian Michael Green, he lived in the area around this time, and he did agree that the mob definitely was known to take their victims out execution style,
but that most of the time he said people were killed outside of the city and away from it all because they didn't, the mob guys didn't want to tarnish the gambling industry, which does make sense. So there are a lot of theories about who this man could be. And the first theory comes from actually some of the employees at the mob museum.
Oh.
They are pretty sure, like they're really into this lead. They think the man inside the barrel could be a man named Johnny Pappas. Now, while he was still alive, Johnny was said to have connections to the Chicago Outfit, which is a Chicago-based crime family. And Johnny himself was from Chicago, so it's not crazy to think that that's possible.
Yeah.
The leader of the Chicago Outfit was Anthony the Ant Spilotro.
I love the names.
It's like my favorite thing ever. I know it's like super fucked, but it's
the names
just
are,
the names.
The names are just hilarious.
They are. The Ant.
The like, Ant.
What about like, the Ant is scary? Yeah. But then I'm like, is it like he's the Ant?
Like they can carry Anthony. They can carry a million times their body weight.
Oh, I didn't even think
and
of that.
And they can devour like a whole rotting thing and like...
Can they really carry a million times their body weight?
I don't know. A million was like, but they can carry. I was like, but they what? Can carry an absurd amount over their body, their
I've
own body weight.
I've seen them carry a couple crumbs from time to time. It's creepy.
They can carry more than that.
Ew.
Yeah.
I hate that. My stepdad had this theory that like we're ants too, like we're somebody else's ants, and it used to really creep me out.
That is so heavy.
He was very emotionally unwell. So.
I was just going to say, was he like dropping acid at that point or something?
Well,
like,
I mean,
what
you know the guy, so like potentially.
That's wild.
No, he was doing like worse than that. But, yeah. You know, he had some theories. But anyways.
He had some thoughts.
He had a lot of thoughts that like I don't particularly share.
Damn.
Yeah. So Johnny, Chicago, yay. Ant, not yay. Ant, the Ant, worked with four different casinos, quote unquote, overseeing operations.
Oh yeah, I bet he did.
Yeah, I bet he oversaw a lot. And word on the street was that the Ant and his guys were skimming off the top and that Johnny Pappas might have known about it because Johnny worked at the casinos. He worked in the Las Vegas Hilton and at Caesar's Palace, both of those casinos. He also managed a hotel called Echo Bay on Lake Mead. And Echo Bay was run by a company that was said to open up different properties to use as fronts for spending mob money. For spreading mob money. So one day in 1976, Johnny just simply vanished. He told his wife in the morning that he was going to show somebody his boat on Lake Mead because they were interested in buying it. But he never showed back up. And they found his car missing like 4 days later. And they were like, this is not good.
Something went awry.
I meant to say they found his car abandoned. They found it, so it wasn't missing.
They found it. It had been missing. You know.
So over the years, it's been suspected that the Ant and his guys might have rubbed Johnny out. Which, by the way, doesn't that expression just creep you the fuck out?
Yeah, because it just makes you think of like a big picture.
Yeah.
And you're just rubbing a person
with your
out.
Thumb, right?
Yeah, just whoop.
Yeah. It creeps
it's like,
me.
That's not how that works.
I don't like it. So, yeah, over the years, many people suspect that the Ant and his guys rubbed Johnny out. And, by the way, if the name Tony Spilotro or any of this story sounds familiar to you, that might be because he inspired one of the characters in the movie Casino.
Ah.
Nicky Santoro, played by Joe Pesci.
Oh, okay.
That was inspired by the Ant.
The Ant, ah.
Now, in August of this year, a gun was actually found pretty close to where the body in the barrel had been discovered, but it has not been determined yet if this gun was used in that killing.
Okay.
But another woman who actually was contacted to give a sample of her DNA thinks it's possible that her brother is the man who was found inside the barrel in May of this year. She said that when the barrel was discovered, quote, I just knew it was him. I still feel it's him.
Ooh.
Now, this woman's name is Barbara Brock, and she explained that her brother, Bobby Eugene Shaw, went missing about 45 years ago. And she was told by the police that based on the condition of the skeletal remains, the time period of when he went missing could make sense. Like, he could be the body in the barrel.
Okay.
And they asked if she would submit her DNA.
Oh, damn. And that's, yes. like, pending?
That's pending, as
oh,
we see.
Oh, shit.
And Bobby was said to also have connections to the mob.
Oh, okay.
So like I said, Barbara was asked to give DNA and she did. And her nephew also gave a DNA sample. They gave their samples over, I believe, in May of this past year. But the police think that it could take a while to get a definitive answer, like at least a year.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. I guess it takes a long time to be sampling the DNA. But she feels very strongly that this is her brother. And the police, the fact that they did ask for her DNA...
They're at least trying to rule it out.
They are.
Now, William Crespo has been another name brought up as potentially being the man inside the barrel. Back in 1982, which I don't know about that, he was arrested at an airport because he was trying to smuggle a shit ton of cocaine back into the U.S. We are talking $400,000 worth of cocaine.
I feel like that's a lot.
Today, it would be $1.2 million worth of cocaine, so you are correct.
That is a lot.
Many, many cocaines. He also had connections to the mafia as well, but when he was arrested at the airport, he gave information to avoid a heavy sentence.
Eek.
His testimony against these people involved in the mafia actually led to 10 indictments.
Ooh.
And after that, he disappeared.
Ooh, yeah, I would say so.
So my question, though, is did he disappear because, like, revenge? Or was he placed in the witness protection program?
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like, or did he disappear in... he was just somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Like he just disappeared because he had to.
Yeah, or they did kill him, but they just put him somewhere else.
Like, exactly.
He doesn't necessarily have to be this one.
No, and based on the timeline, I don't know how likely it is that he's the man inside the barrel, because he was arrested back in 1982.
Yeah.
So it would have been like well into the 80s. And they're thinking more like mid-70s. Early 80s, so it could happen, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's like right on that fringe, but like...
it sounds more like he disappeared because he had to.
Yeah, I think the other two are more likely.
I do too. There's one last name. The last name I saw as a potential to be maybe a match of to the body in the barrel was Jay Vandermack. He was in charge of running a slot machine operation for the mob at the Stardust Resort and Casino.
Ooh.
When the Stardust was raided back in 1976, he left Vegas real quick because he was like, I'm not going to get caught up in that. But he did get caught up in that because there are rumors that he met with the mob to hand over the $7 million that he had made for them.
Oof.
But it was discovered that he had kept three of those millions to himself.
Oof.
And was later killed because of that. Yeah. So it is also possible. There's 1976, that. You never know. I would say that the strongest two leads are probably Johnny Pappas and Bobby.
Yeah.
Eugene Shaw, definitely.
I think so, too.
So that's the body that was found inside the barrel. And remember, that was only in May of last year. So I'm hoping by next May, like, we could have an answer. And if it is Barbara's brother, at least she can have that.
Yeah, at least she knows where he is and what happened.
Because I was watching an interview with her and she said, like, she'll see somebody on the street that looks like him and, like, stop them or, like, try to get a better look at them. She's, like, constantly searching.
So it would be nice if she could at least have some kind of closure is a weird word. But
yeah, I feel like we've learned over this, like, these past few years that closure doesn't really
exist. That closure isn't the best way to describe it, but...
but some semblance of that, at least. So now, if you are a fan of paddleboarding, I don't know if the next discovery will be for you or not.
I'm not, so let's go.
Me either. So recently, two sisters, they weren't us because we're not into that.
Nope.
But they went paddleboarding out on Lake Mead, and they got a little bit more than they bargained for.
Uh-oh.
They were paddling along, and they saw what they thought were the bones of a bighorn sheep.
Uh-oh.
So they go over to this area and they start digging because they're like, holy shit, like, is that what that is?
Is that a bighorn sheep?
Is this a bighorn sheep?
What a random thing to think it is.
I know. I don't know if they're like...
bighorn sheep aficionados?
Yeah, or I don't know if like bighorn sheep are frequent flyers in the lake.
Maybe they are.
I'm not sure.
It's pretty cool though.
So they start digging and they realize it becomes very apparent very quickly that this was not a sheep. One of the sisters, Lynette Melvin, explained to the reporters later, it wasn't until I saw the jawbone with a silver filling that I was like... oh, this is a human, and started to freak out.
Oh, yeah. That must be wild.
I can't imagine. I hope that doesn't happen ever. So investigators handling this specific case, they haven't been able to determine a cause of death for this set of remains. Like, but we kind of have, we basically have the answer. They said they don't expect foul play. But later, the remains were identified, actually, as those of a man named Thomas Earned. He had been reported missing 20 years ago on August 2nd, 2002.
Wow.
He was 42 years old and he went out for a boat day with his family. He jumped into the water and it sounds like the currents were too strong and he started drowning. But he was kind of a jokester. So at first his family thought he was joking.
Oh, no.
But then he started screaming like, I'm serious. I need help.
Never joke about drowning, everybody.
No, exactly. And he was not. So his family went to get help. But by the time they got back, they couldn't find him.
Oh, because that's horrific.
The currents are so strong. Like, these currents can take a body hundreds and hundreds of feet from where
awful.
It originally was. Now, in Thomas's case, like I said, it took 20 years for his body to be located, but thankfully he was able to be put to rest and his family got some kind of semblance of peace. And he was actually able to be identified because there's a long list of missing people who went missing while on Lake Mead. So the police were like going through that list trying to figure out.
Like just narrowing down.
Narrowing down, exactly. And Thomas's son got a call asking if he could provide DNA to hopefully match up to the remains. So Thomas's son and his daughter both agreed to give DNA samples. And sure enough, it was a match.
Oh.
His son told reporters, I mean, of course, it's going to close a big chapter just knowing he's at peace now after so long. But it is definitely big news, and I don't know if I was ready for it.
I don't think you're ever ready for that.
No, it's just like so sad. But I'm also happy that now they have a place to go visit him.
Exactly.
You know? So more and more remains are being found at Lake Mead. A lot of them, by the way, are partial sets of remains that hopefully can be put together and potentially identify more missing people connected to that area. And a lot of investigators believe that this is really just the tip of the iceberg and that there are going to be a lot more remains, a lot more relics, just like a lot more found at Lake Mead.
Look at what has already been found.
And it's like we're just starting to have this stuff.
We're just scratching the surface.
Quite literally. It's wild. But they say that it's not a reason to stop enjoying the lake. They do want people to continue to enjoy the lake, but they also are urging people, you know, this is like we need to do something about this.
Yeah.
We have to figure it out. The Lake Mead's National Park and Recreation Division Chief David Alber says, I think people need to understand that this is a big place. Lake Mead covers 1.5 million acres of land between Nevada and Arizona. And we've been here as a recreation area in one form or another since 1936 when the Hoover Dam was established.
Damn.
This has also been a land that people have seen moving through it for thousands of years between Native Americans and early settlers and explorers. So to be surprised that another set of human remains has been found is not unusual. Now, like I said, there's been a lot of remains found. I believe 5 sets of remains, including the body and the barrel, have been found. And it's hard to say how many more are going to be found because people are thinking that there could be hundreds more lurking beneath the surface. Officers are getting calls every single day to go out and investigate like a new lead. But unfortunately, sometimes it's things like skeletons that like scuba divers left behind like way back when as a joke.
Oh, geez.
So they're going out to investigate that. And then they're like, no, that's
not it. It's like a Halloween skeleton.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Or like they'll go out to investigate and it's just animal bones because, again, it's a national park recreation area. Now, oh so shocking, everybody, there are also some reports of hauntings in the area.
Why? Can you explain why that would be?
I just did, bro. So people have heard crying and weeping when they're in the dam's power plant. They'll hear footsteps when there's nobody behind them. Sometimes people have even heard voices that don't belong to anybody in their tour group, and everybody will like turn their head and be like, what the fuck was that?
Oof.
And it's a disembodied voice. And a man has also been seen in the dam. He's dressed in what's referred to as old-fashioned park clothes. If you catch a glimpse of him, you better not blink and you better not make any move toward him because the second you do, he simply poofs into the air.
Ooh.
Like
he's
if
shy.
You even go anywhere near him, he's like, goodbye.
He's a shy one.
He is. And it's believed that he could be one of the many men that were killed during the construction of the dam.
Ah, yes.
96 men were killed on the job. And that number doesn't even account for people who died either like at the hospital or at home later.
Eek.
Crazy. People also claim to hear activity coming from the abandoned Mead Lodge, which was once an up-and-running place for guests to come stay the weekend at the lake. But they eventually closed down when the lake like went further and further out.
Yeah.
Couldn't really enjoy it anymore, again, due to climate change. And I saw a few videos on YouTube of people just like exploring the abandoned lodge. It's got this creepy, desolate feel to it now, and the air is said to feel very heavy inside.
Oh, I hate that.
And that, my friends, could be part one of Lake Mead, because I'm like, are we going to have to do a part two when more of these
probably
remains are found, and gosh knows what else is going to be found?
Oh, man. That was... intense.
It was interesting.
That's
sure.
A lot.
It's the most.
No wonder you guys were requesting that. That was interesting, ominous, fascinating, terrifying.
There you go.
And phobia inducing.
It truly was.
So thank you for that.
And with that being said, we hope you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep
it weird.
But not so weird that you don't send in your spooky lake request to morbidpodcast@gmail.com with the headline Spooky Lakes in the subject line.
Heyo.
Bye.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.